Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know.
Dance. Dance. Welcome. That's not quite the...
No, it's different music. We're going to explain why.
We'll make it work.
This is episode 92 of the Jay and Dan podcast, the Rick Tockett episode. If you're watching the video portion, then you realize that we're on the Herd set.
Yeah.
Because we hosted the Herd on Friday. We didn't have a chance to put together the podcast in our regular room, so we figured, why not? I think you can find one good hour out of 3 hours of radio. I hope to hell you can.
Yeah.
We're keeping our fingers crossed, although Mike is putting this together, so...
It's always iffy if Mike's doing it. But I should also mention that the other reason we wanted to do it this way is because we're lazy and we didn't want to do a whole other podcast. But more than that, I think the Herd was so much fun. We wanted to share that with the podcast listeners. So that was really our motivation behind it.
We'll talk a bit about the book signing. Everyone wondered how that went in Oshawa, the chapters. I think it was a swimming success.
Is
that a term?
It was a swimming success, everyone. We swam together.
Can I tell
We got out of the pool.
Should I tell her or should I wait till episode 99, the Mike Wayne Gretzky?
I think you should wait till that one because I have an addition to that. So there's a nice tease for that one.
For episode 99.
Episode 99, which is coming up.
In the meantime, ready to ditch the step counters and start getting more from your workouts? Who isn't? Who has the time and money for personal trainers and fancy equipment?
Adidas Fit Smart and Smart Run has the gear you need to step it up and find your more. The fitness stats that truly matter. I'm not just talking about steps. I mean calories, heart rate, pace, plenty more. Adidas even gives you custom training plans to load onto your device. They'll push you to new limits that step counters never could. Pair that with a mobile app that syncs all your workout data, and it's a no-brainer. This is your first step to a new, fitter you.
This Adidas gear is designed to get you more from your workouts from day one. If you're ready to step it up and find your more, visit adidas.com and search Fit Smart or Smart Run today. The word is, since we started reading these, they can't keep them on the shelves.
Yeah, flying off the shelves in Adidas stores and all sorts of sporting equipment stores across this great country and other countries.
Again, to sum it up, Mike's putting together the best one hour that he could find from the 3 hours of The Herd, which we hosted Friday.
Here it is.
We want you to enjoy the show.
Hi. Welcome to The Herd.
Yeah, it's The Herd.
I love this part.
It's the...
This way. It's coming. There we go.
Well, get ready for a lot of awkwardness like that, everybody. Sorry. Hi, everyone. I'm Jay Onwright, and that guy over on the couch is Dan O'Toole. This is The Herd on FS1 and iHeartRadio, and we are not your hosts, and probably won't ever be after this episode.
Right. We got the heads up last week. They said, you guys want to fill in? If you don't know us, we're a couple of Canadians that host Fox Sports Live every single night on FS1.
Weeknights. Fox Sports Live is the highlight show on FS1.
Yeah, we don't work 7 days a week. We like to claim we do. But.
Yeah, we're on weeknights on FS1. We do the highlight show, Fox Sports Live. It's a huge hit. People are talking about it. And Colin Cowherd decided to take the day off. Well-deserved, I might add. I think this is his first day off since he started at FS1.
That's right, and we did not get any of those shirts. I thought I'd get, like, fancy, hip shirts.
Oh, you're talking about the shirts that Colin wears? No, we wanted to wear the suits. This is our uniform. When we show up to this building, we look rough. We look like homeless people.
Well, I've never been up this early. We've worked nights for 12 years.
Yeah,
never
true.
Have I been up the... Again, we had to get up, so at 6 Pacific, I got up.
So
my eyes, they look like holes in a tomato.
Arrived today, you said your eyes were burning.
They are burning.
Yeah.
My eyes are like, they aren't supposed to be open. There's no liquid there.
You look stoned. I wonder if we could get a close-up of your eyeballs. And I realize on radio that's not as exciting
for
you.
They can't do that.
But let me describe Dan's eyeballs to you if you're on the radio. You know, imagine like a lava lamp. Okay, that's what Dan's eyeballs look like.
And
right
I woke
now.
Up with a big heater.
Yeah, oh, and a heater is a zit.
Yeah,
is that a Canadian for a zit?
That is
thankfully, we just shaved our mustaches. We were growing mustaches for Movember last month, and we shaved them so you don't have to
I like to think
that.
I look a lot younger. I think the mustache aged me.
You think so?
I don't know.
Your mustache, you look like a Confederate war general who had lost the battle. Because you had the handlebar mustaches. You had the handlebars, but they weren't even. They were sort of ragged, like you didn't have a mirror.
Yours, here's a way to describe yours.
Yeah.
So we recently saw my daughters up in Canada, and my little Ruby, my daughter, my four-year-old, said, "Oh, give Jay a hug before you go." She's like, "No."
Yeah.
And I asked her, I'm like, "Why?" She goes, "Yeah, mustache."
Yeah, she was frightened of me. Normally, I'm her best friend, but she was not. She was not into that. Actually, we were just up in Canada because I was plugging my new book, number 2, available now.
It's called Raw. What a tremendous gift that would make for someone who likes to read.
Built-in audio. Built-in audio whenever you try to promote your book.
So when I try to promote my book, Colin's book, immediately a promotion comes right in for Colin's book, Raw. You could buy either book, but Colin's book
It's called Raw. What a tremendous gift that would make for someone who likes to read.
So we had a question and answer that I got to host when we were at a major book chain in Canada.
Yeah.
It's the Chapdoors.
Yeah, it's like Barnes & Noble, but with less integrity.
And 99% books about Canada.
That's right. All the books are about, it's just Farley Mowat, Margaret Atwood novels, and then a couple of
Anne
magazines.
Anne of Green Gables.
Yeah, Anne of Green Gables, and then a couple of magazines about hockey, and that's it.
But,
that's Chapdoors.
And bringing up Ruby O'Toole, she had probably the best question, which she kind of chickened out on. She told me her question before we got there, and she said, why so much talk about pee and poo?
Yeah, that's if people don't know, my book is called Number 2 because I literally talk about crapping my pants.
It's called Raw. What a tremendous gift that would make for someone who likes to read.
God, Colin gets me every time.
So you see his picture. Can we pull that picture up again?
Of Colin?
Yeah.
I've got the book right here, actually.
Every movie does this. So that's fake sweat on his sweatsuit there.
Yeah.
Why do they do that? No one sweats in that pattern. No one.
Could he look less like a boxer in the back cover there?
He looks like a bandit.
He looks like an old man who's lost his posture and has scoliosis and now is facing down this giant slab of meat as if to say, "Can I lean on you because I can't stand anymore?" Colin Cowherd, scoliosis.
And can we get sweat stains that are correct? Like big pits. You need big pits.
They should have just showered down his pits. Just
That's right.
Gotten a hose and just showered those pits down.
We're going to have to do a pit check by the end of this because I'm going to be sweating.
You're sweating up a storm already.
Well, no, it's just I always do, but usually we're only on for like an hour or two on our show.
Right. This is 3. We're not on for 2.
What
it's an hour-long show. It seems like 2.
But we're on set for like 4 hours.
Right, that's
true. But
we
aren't talking the entire time.
It takes us 4 hours to get a quality one-hour show out of it. That's basically how it works. But another funny thing that happened at this book event at Chapdoors is that your sister was there watching the kids while you did a Q&A with me, and she asked a fascinating question of me, which was, remember the time you had Mike Tyson on your podcast? We do the Jay and Dan podcast. You can get it on iTunes. She said, remember when you had Mike Tyson on? And you said, we've never, ever had, we've never had Mike Tyson. And then she said, oh, no, not Mike Tyson. I mean the guy who bit the guy's ear. And we said, we've never had Evander Holyfield, ever.
It's extremely awkward.
You're listening to a different, are you listening to a boxing podcast? You're not listening to our podcast. That's not our podcast.
Carolyn, I am your brother.
another missing person here is Christine Leahy.
Yeah.
Was given the option to be on the show with us, was told she'd like to take the day off.
Really?
That's what I was told, yes. Christine was told, would you like to come in work with the Canadians? And she said, I'd rather not. And there you see the empty chair. And that's perfectly understandable. We take no offense.
It looks like I got to do the news.
Yeah, at least she got the option. We didn't.
True? Jonathan, that's not very nice. Jonathan and Greg over here. Can we just showcase these guys maybe a little bit more than Colin does? I feel like Colin sort of acknowledges them, but not enough. And I feel like we're going to. Speaking of acknowledging people, I love it.
We're scrambling the crew. You are really pissing a lot of people
off. And then our crew out here that no one ever sees because it's so dark in the studio.
We have an amazing crew here at FS1 that shoots the TV show for FS1 every day, noon Eastern.
So, they know exactly the amount of vodka we need in our drinks.
Absolutely. They pour just a little bit in with our yerba mates. People don't know what yerba mate is. We live on this stuff. It's the naturally caffeinated drink made from the naturally caffeinated leaves of the celebrated rainforest holly tree.
And here's the thing. People say, oh, you're drinking energy drinks. Aren't you guys like in your 40s? Okay, both those are correct.
Yeah.
But we buy it from Whole Foods, and everyone knows if it's from Whole Foods, it's healthy.
It's delicious, it's healthy, and it's very overpriced.
Yes. So thank God we don't have to pay for it.
That's right. We get FS1 to bring it in.
But they do believe that one of our production assistants, although that I'm getting his title wrong, Ryan Brumley, he's not a PA anymore.
It's enough. That's all he deserves. He's lucky to have a job.
What is he, Pat? He's still a PA?
He's a production assistant.
Okay.
He's never getting promoted above that.
He's always going to be PA.
He could be running FS1 and it'll be like this production assistant.
Anyway,
runs
so he has to go to Whole Foods and buy it by the case. So he says they think I have a problem.
Right.
Because he's going in there and he doesn't say, like, I'm buying it for people at work. And even if he said that, they'd be like, whatever, buddy.
And then another thing that happened this morning is Jamie Horowitz, who is our boss, president of FS1, appeared here to see us on the show. He's never come to our show at night. Ever. Yeah. I don't even think he knows we do it in this studio.
We did it last night, too.
It was last night.
This set
just come
did
by.
Not look like this.
Right, right. They transformed the set. There's incredibly talented men and women here on our crew.
To Jamie's credit, we do go on very late.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, should we talk about who's coming on the show?
Yeah, let's do it. I want to talk about this incredible finish in the Thursday Nighter last night. The only incredible finish in a Thursday Nighter in the history of Thursday Night Football.
And here's the thing. So this is a live TV moment when we weren't on TV, so that makes no sense. We were watching the end of the game because we were in a commercial break.
Right.
Because our show was live. You were watching on the desk.
This is the worst story ever already.
You had a different feed.
That's right. I was watching on the local CBS affiliate.
And we were at the back of the studio, and when I say we, everyone on the crew, and then Ephraim and Sean Merriman, who were here to break down the game. All of a sudden, you start freaking out. You say, oh my goodness, oh my, and then
we're
at least 30 seconds behind you, and we're like, yeah, whatever.
Right.
Then it happens. Because we all thought you were making it up.
Yeah, well, and I'm pretty good at that kind of thing. What did you think of my, what did you think of my call of the game, of the finish? Aaron
well, you
Rogers.
Just started. Oh, my, I can't believe that just happened.
Right. Okay. Well, we just happen to have, Dan, this is interesting because in case you don't know or you didn't get to see the highlight, what a finish. Questionable face mask penalty at the end of the game. We're going to discuss this at length.
We're going to have Mike Pereira on to talk about that.
Our rules aficionado is going to come on. We're going to drink some Tito's. We're going to talk about that.
And a huge swing in Vegas, too.
Oh, yes,
because
exactly.
Because it hit the over and the Packers
and
covered.
And it covered. The best backdoor cover ever.
Yeah, so everyone's counting their money. I feel bad for those people in the sports book. They've got, like, I've got the under. This, right. I'm going to have a big steak dinner tonight, and then
right.
boom.
And then boom, they lose it. But then the other half, the Packers fans are loving it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, 61-yard Hail Mary throw, no time on the clock. Rodgers to Richard Rodgers in the end zone in the worst defended Hail Mary in the history of the National Football League. I mean, you couldn't believe it. It was like everyone was like, get out of the way so he can catch it.
A couple Lions weren't even looking for the ball. And then post-game, Aaron Rodgers, with the best humble brag ever, hopefully you can find that audio later in the show, where he says, like, yeah, first off, I got to the end zone from the 40, so what an arm.
So I've got quite an arm, don't I?
That'll make Jay and Dan happy.
With maybe the greatest Canadian band ever, Rush, legendary power trio.
You ever seen them
Rush.
In concert, man? It's like you're listening to the album at home. It's that clear.
Virtuoso musicians, nice guys, classic tunes.
And I bet you our next guest has them on the on her new show all the time on Extra.
Not only
talking about the Rush latest gossip,
but when Carissa Thompson is running on Venice Beach with her dog Felix. and she's got the earbuds in. It's nonstop Power Windows or 2112. Carissa Thompson joining us on the Herd. CT, how are you?
This is how I have to get to talk to you guys.
Yeah, this
yes.
is it.
For Colin.
This is it.
We used to go from seeing each other every night, and now the only way I can talk to you is when you're filling in for Colin. This is ridiculous.
Yes, we had an interesting relationship. Not Chris and I personally.
Wow, Dan, this
well,
is
I
great.
Thought, no. I was going to say, let's already go there.
Let's go there right now. Dan, Carissa, where is your relationship stand right now?
In the horoscope. in the words of Bonnie Raitt, let's give him something to talk about.
Well, I was going to say how most days when we saw you, you would just come flying and lie on our desk in front of us.
It was so nice.
And by the way, the viral video of me flashing you is still the number one video, I think, in my...
Yeah, so here's the backstory. So we were doing a promo for our upcoming show, Fox Sports Live, and Carissa came out in a trench coat.
And it was nice.
But which I was wearing clothes underneath.
She was wearing clothes underneath. I said, you should pretend to flash us. And she did, and everyone thought she was naked underneath, but sorry to...
Now you know who flashes us, Carissa? Mike Pereira. And I'm not saying I don't like it.
There's a lot to take in, though.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in there.
I miss you guys. What's going on?
We miss you, too. How is, first of all, Fox NFL kickoff. Talk to us about this show, 11 a.m. Eastern on Fox, no longer FS1. You're on Fox. You're with Randy Moss. You're with Champ Bailey. You're with Colin Cowherd. How has the show been so far this season?
My favorite part of the show is when the show's over and I go to Roscoe's with Randy and Champ.
Oh, that sounds good.
I can only imagine how that goes.
Chicken and waffles.
The show has been amazing. And it's an early call time. I mean, let's just be real. It's 5:30, but it is worth it. It's honestly my favorite thing I've ever done in sports. It was one of those wait for the cheesy line, a dream job to host an NFL pregame show. And I enjoy it. And that's a great group of guys. You know, obviously Colin and I have worked together on that other network. Randy and I did some stuff back in the day with Fox Sports Live and those epic stories in the green room. So it's a good group, and I enjoy doing that. I'm actually bummed that we're not on this weekend because, of course, the other guys are in Hawaii.
Carissa, you meet a lot of cool people. You work with Mario Lopez, maybe the coolest guy.
Does it get cooler? Yes, it does. Exactly.
On your scale, where does Randy Moss rank? Because he's one of these guys. Like, I can't explain it to people. They're like, what's Randy like? I'm like, you can't explain how cool this dude is.
Randy, so it goes, my father won, Mario 1A.
I like that placement there.
And Randy, during the football season, is above all of them. It's just, it's not even a competition.
He could just commands your attention when you're around him.
Like tell a story about some guy walking the street and it would be wildly entertaining. I would bring in, first of all, I like that you call my dog Felix. His name's Willis.
It's Willis. That's right.
I thought it was Rusty. Rusty.
Yeah. He used to hang around the studio. We miss Willis.
Terrifying. It's part wolf, and it hated us.
He's like a wolf dog. It's like Game of Thrones. We're just trying to work, and this wolf is trying to attack us.
Yeah, we get it, Thompson. We get it. You don't want us near you. We get it.
Yeah.
Wait, I've got a great story. Speaking of the football show, so Willis got really sick one night, and, of course, the call time's 5:30. So I wake up. Willis has literally you know what, all over the house. He got the stomach, like, sort of flu, whatever. So I have to take this dog.
That's how I usually wake up each morning. Anyway,
yeah.
Most men do. I'm not allowed to take him to daycare, so I have to take him with me. I walk into the morning meeting. You know what, all over the floor in the morning meeting, and Colin is looking at me, Randy's looking at me. I'm on my hands and knees rubbing the floor to get Willis's number two off the floor. Then I take him down to the dressing room. He goes all over the dressing room. We got to Lysol the dressing room. It's a nightmare. So Willis is no longer allowed on the premises.
The real power move there was, though, dog takes a dump. Yeah. During the meeting, you point to it and say, someone clean that up.
Yeah.
Just walk out.
Yeah, you would have done that, Dan.
You should have said, Colin, that's for you. That's the initiation. FS1.
Colin, clean it up. I know. Willis is out of control. But anyways, that's a Willis story. But so Randy, when he said, did you train that dog? And I said, what? Did I train the dog? No, I didn't train that dog. He said, shoot, you should feed it some gunpowder. Gunpowder?
What?
No.
Gunpowder?
Crazy. We're not going to feed the dog gunpowder.
Then feed the dog gunpowder?
What would be the purpose of that?
It's a Biggie line. While you guys are busy listening to Celine Dion in Canada, I'm listening to Biggie.
Hey, Celine Dion, she's had a long run in Vegas. Yeah. She's doing great.
Celine Dion had that beautiful tribute. She's wonderful. She has a residency. Renee Angelil is barely hanging on. She's got to keep working.
Okay, while you're busy listening to Justin Bieber, I'm listening to Biggie. Okay.
Hey,
very quick, Carissa, we don't have much more time with you, but you mentioned Mario Lopez.
Time.
I know. Apparently, this is a very regimented show. It's not like the podcast when you come on and dress like Santa Claus's wife and take your top off. It's not like that.
I hate this show.
No, I know. It's very regimented here. We're finding it difficult to work within these constraints. But I wanted to talk about Mario because you were kind of, I mean, we kind of joke, but he has been so kind to us. He's done a bunch of fun things for us for the Premier Boxing.
He has
boxing.
No idea who we are.
He doesn't know who he is. That makes it,
that makes it even
better. He has no clue who we are, and he does all these wonderful things for our show, Fox Sports Live. Were you surprised how wonderful he was to work with, and does he wax his eyebrows?
Yes to waxing eyebrows, and yes to I was surprised how wonderful he is to work with, and like far superseded any expectations because I had none. I mean, look. I've lived in the world of sports for 10 years. This entertainment thing is new to me, so who knows how these people can be. Mario has been amazing. And big win in the family is his wife, Courtney. Really sassy, smart aleck. We would love her. We need to get her on the podcast.
Let's do it.
Carissa, so describe your day. How does your day look now that you don't have to come and hang out with us at night?
Ready for this really bougie comment. Brandy, my wonderful makeup artist, is I'm sitting in a makeup chair getting my makeup done now, and I'll start taping for Extra around 10 o'clock. That goes till around 3. Last night I did this GQ shoot thing, so like on nights I have shoots, that would be like 5 to 11. And then on the weekends, a Saturday I come in for a couple hours, and then Sunday's the show. So it's a 7-day-a-weeker job thing, situation, whatever. Way to articulate that, Carissa. Right now I'm doing 7 days a week, but then come football season, then it, you know, goes back to 5 and it's good. So yeah, it starts early and sometimes ends late, but whatever.
I don't like that at all.
You're working too hard. You're too big of a star for this crap.
No, you know, I say all the time, I'm going to marry rich and nothing's happening. I just keep getting more jobs.
I'll say this, Carissa Thompson. The three of us essentially live in the same part of Los Angeles, so there's no reason we can't hit the clubs together.
Great. We'll leave Willis outside. Let's go.
This is a true story. So one night, Carissa sends out an Instagram or something. I'm like, oh, she's at Simsy's. I know where that is. I'm like, Carissa, you're here? She's like, yeah. I'm just having a beer. And she's like, oh, I'm heading home. I'm like, oh, okay. That sounds like fun. She goes, I'm having a party. So I'm like, okay. She's going to say, come on over. And I said, well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And then no response.
Nothing.
Complete fabrication of
that
the
story. Sounds very
now
true,
lying,
Carissa.
And now you're going to say we don't have time for you to explain because we have to go because of Colin's restraint.
Yeah, we got
to
go.
We actually have to wrap Carissa Thompson.
Oh, see? Oh, you guys suck. I love you. Goodbye.
We really miss you, Carissa.
I miss you too. Get off your book tour. Come back to the States.
I'm back. I'm never leaving again. They won't let me go. Thanks, Carissa.
Bye.
Bye, Carissa.
Carissa Thompson, Fox NFL kickoff on Fox. Extra with Mario Lopez.
Used to host Fox Sports Live when it was a 3-hour show, and then it would start with 20 minutes of Andy Roddick talking about the Cowboys.
And then her dog Willis taking dumps all over the Fox lot. The bone set, the grinder set. Willis taking craps everywhere. That's what happens. Guess
Again,
what, Dan?
Dog's terrifying.
Peter Schrager, our old friend. There's the original Fox Sports Live cast photo.
Oh, it's very fitting. So Carissa's in there.
Yeah.
We're in there. And then Ephraim Salam, he's
on the far left.
All the remaining members are going to appear on today's show.
That's correct. Except for Donovan, Gary, and Andy. They're not allowed back on the lot. But Ephraim will be on the show. He looks about half that size, and that was photoshopped into that group shot.
And we're going to describe it. It's one of the funniest things that's ever happened.
You're going to love it. We got to wrap. Dan, it's Herdline news time. Dan, Christine's not here. She decided to take the day off, so maybe you should wander over.
Everyone's
to the
pretty
set.
Happy about me doing the news, I'm sure.
This is exciting stuff. Don't forget, Peter Schrager is going to be on with us on The Herd in just a second, but now, Herdline News.
No.
Turn on the news!
This is The Herdline News.
Is it? No. Wow. You really?
I heard someone say we've got three minutes.
John's like giving you like 30 seconds to get over there, and you're like wandering over there like you're Willis at age 15. You can't contain
his
bowels.
I heard someone say, we got 3 minutes. I'm like, okay, it's a long break, but.
Yeah, we have 3 minutes, and now we have 2 minutes because you've been trying to get into your seat.
See what's back here?
Oh, my God. Can we get Christine? Can we call her at home? Is it too late to call Christine?
You want some news?
Yeah, let's do it.
Some news? That's the one thing I learned in broadcasting.
It's pronounced news.
It's news, and it's Moscow, not Moscow.
I hope there's some news about Moscow then.
No, we've got none of that.
Anytime now, buddy.
Well,
it sounded very Canadian there. Anytime now, buddy.
Here's the thing. I got it in this form, so I got to sum this up. I just was handed this.
You're a broadcaster. You've been working for 20 years.
Can I just read the headline?
Yeah, I guess.
Dana White. Ronda Rousey admitted she was exhausted going into the Holly Holm fight.
You know, someone made a great point about that fight. Remember when Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas? That was the most shocked I've been for any fight ever. And the Holly Holm win over Ronda was second. What's the correlation in both of those? I think Colin brought it up, right? Why are you as a champion going overseas? Why would you go to Australia? Why would you do that if you're Ronda? Say, you know where you were fighting? We're fighting out on Venice Beach where I live. Out with Willis taking craps out on the sand. That's where I'll fight you, Holly Holm. Then she would have won.
The direct quote was, she said she was exhausted mentally, physically, emotionally. She had a lot of personal things going on with her family. Said that he's talked to her every day since the fight.
Well, thanks for bringing us down, Dan.
That's the news.
Okay, that's the news,
no, there's
everyone.
More. There's more. This one's dumb. Well, I was given a bunch to choose from. I wanted to say they're all dumb, but you can't say that.
Because we're in a meeting with people who've come up with ideas.
No, Ross handed this to me, so it was him and
Ross.
I, mano a mano.
Our social media guy, Ross.
He's now I threw him under the bus.
Handsome guy. Looks like Hugh Jackman, if he was a young Hugh Jackman. A shorter Hugh Jackman.
A disheveled Hugh Jackman.
Now we have to get him on camera.
Kristaps Porzingis adds fire to Knicks Nets rivalry.
Okay, here we go.
This is so stupid that we make anything out of this. I know our fans are better than Brooklyn fans, said with a smile. It'll be a good game. Brooklyn, they're struggling this season, but they will try to win the rivalry as we want to win.
Are you reading a Kristaps Porzingis quote as if you're like a Shakespearean actor or something?
I didn't want to do
it
an accent and offend anyone.
You didn't want to try to do his accent.
Exactly.
Well, guess what? That's been the Herdline News. And
no,
I gotta
there's
tell
one
you,
more, isn't there?
No, but we're out of time now. Oh, make it short. They say make it short. Make it short like Ross, the short Hugh Jackman.
Ah, this next one's stupid. So. No.
All right, that's been it, folks. Christine will definitely be back Monday.
Well, that's the news.
Great. Another steaming load of good news.
The Herdline News.
And here comes Dan. He's back. Yeah, you're on television. Dan now rushing back
again.
To the couch.
I thought he'd be quicker than that.
Yeah.
Wait. Again, a few things. In my defense, I can't hear anyone.
Right.
So I don't know if we're like gone to commercial.
But
I'm relying completely
Greg
on you.
I told you like six times what
I'm
was
essentially
happening.
Blindfolded and you're guiding me around.
Right. Oh, so it's my fault. But
yes.
I can't. I'm telling you, get back to the couch. I can't tell you any quicker. John thought you were going to be like a gazelle.
Now he knows.
You're very
slow.
That's the
first time I've ever done it.
Yeah. No, it was pretty bad. John, your thoughts overall?
Not great.
How much are you guys regretting letting Dan do this? Julie Stewart Binks sent us a text. She said, I'll be your Christine. We're like, no, Dan's got it covered. He'll be fine. Now we're wishing we had called Binksy.
Can I read a tweet?
Oh, I guess. Who's going to stop you now?
This is from Lewis Butko.
Classic Butko. Here we go. Classic Butko. Get ready for it.
Curious to know how Jay got the right to the desk over Dan. Drinking contest? Wrestling match?
I love this question. You wanted the couch.
I did. I'm a lazy human. When Michael Hughes first approached us, said, do you guys want to fill in?
That's executive producer of this show, I think, or of... Fox
I don't know
Sports
his
Live.
Title.
What is his title? Greg, you're the executive
I think
producer
he just walks
show.
Around telling people what to do.
Yeah. He I oversees just, kind of everything, right?
Yeah. He walks around in a very tight jacket, right? An ill-fitting suit jacket.
He always has a
jacket.
Blazer.
Yeah, it's always a blazer. And he's like, what up, playa? And we're like, what are you doing all day?
I once was working out at the gym, and I was in a class with all ladies. And I was doing some stretch.
This is here in LA, by
yes.
the way.
And yep. I turn around and standing at the window of the workout room is Michael Hughes shaking his head at
was
me.
Was he in a blazer at the gym.
No, he wasn't.
Peter Schrager joins us now. He is covering the Cleveland Browns.
We never finished the story. I said to Hughes, I want to sit on the couch, and then that's how it got done.
Peter, I know you've Peter's on our podcast almost every week. This is very unusual for Dan to be this scatterbrained, isn't it, Peter?
Oh, yeah. No, Dan is usually on the button on this one. That was a cool story about asking to sit on the couch and being put on a couch. Thanks for spending 2 minutes explaining it. That was good. Guys, this is like watching the Cowboys with Castle and Whedon. Where is Colin? Where is Colin?
That's why Jerry Jones sticks with Romo. He's his Colin, and we're Whedon and your
hey,
Castle.
Hey, Pete, you're hanging out with the Browns today.
I am. I'm in the facility right now. They've got a game against the Bengals. If you're in the building, it doesn't think like things are as bad as it might seem on the outside. Just spoke with Coach Mike Pettine, and he's pretty upbeat, and they think they've got a shot against Cincinnati here.
Hey, Pete, you're going to be pretty mad at me, but I took so long with the Herd news, walking over to deliver the news and then walking back, that we're already out of time for the segment.
Plus, Pete, don't forget about that incredible, both those Michael Hughes stories.
No, that was really good. The story about Michael Hughes seeing you in a gym, shaking his head, and then you also, the other story, the second one about you sitting on a couch because you asked if you could sit on the couch, those are pretty riveting. I think about what Colin does in his monologue where he takes something from the outside world and applies it to sports. Very similar to what you just did. That was a good job. Good job.
Way to go, Dan. Pete Schrager, we love you. We love that you came on the show. And yeah, FoxSports.com, senior NFL analyst. Enjoy the Browns and the Bengals this weekend, my friend.
Can't wait to listen to the rest of the show. Good luck, guys.
Boy, I tell you.
What a guy. So he's on our podcast all the time. So he knows I'm like this all the time.
Right. This is what you're getting when you watch us.
Schrager bomb.
If you're going to forget the words to a song, don't forget the national anthem of the country you were born in. Joel Klatt, senior college football analyst for Fox. He will be calling along with Gus Johnson the Big Ten Championship game Saturday, 8 Eastern, on Fox. Joel Klatt joins us now for a Klatt Chat. Joel, how are you?
Oh, Canada.
Joel, yes. How many Bryan Adams songs can you name?
I probably can't name one. But that's not because he's just Canadian, guys. Don't worry.
No, that actually makes me respect you more, Joel.
Okay, perfect.
Dan has a doomsday scenario question for you.
Yeah, what is the worst case scenario that our Final Four ends up with? That the NCAA has nightmares about how the brain trust cannot sleep at night thinking, oh boy, if we put that on the plate.
And Joel, we're assuming in this doomsday scenario that Alabama and Clemson lose this weekend.
I think so. Well, even in that scenario now, remember, they're going to have outs. So I don't know if there's a true doomsday scenario as far as size of, you know, brands, if you will, from the teams. I would say, like, if Clemson is a team that gets beat this weekend, and if Alabama gets beat and Stanford gets beat, then you're going to be sitting there with North Carolina most likely in. But then at that point, you're sitting there, and I think Ohio State could make their way in. And obviously, as a defending national champion, that would be a pretty marquee team. And at that point, you might even look at the loser of the Big Ten game. In particular, if it's Iowa with only one loss in their body of work, maybe they were to sneak in there. But that would probably be the doomsday scenario for the powers that be. Nice.
Joel Klatt, you're one of the most prepared broadcasters I know. We're going to pull back the curtain a little bit here and let people inside your world. This game, just because it's more important than the others, I know you don't prepare more for this one. You prepare the same amount. But how much tape do you watch going into a game?
Gosh, that's a great question. I think anywhere between, I would say, 10 and 12 hours. It doesn't really matter which team or teams or the size of the game. This happens to be the biggest college football game that Fox has ever done. This is the biggest college football game of this season and this college football year. No other game, and obviously there'll be bigger ones down the road with the semifinal and the national championship, but no other game has pitted two teams against each other with everything on the line like this game does. Win and in for both teams.
Klatt knows how to pump up a game.
Oh, man, I could not be more excited about calling this game. It's everything that I've ever dreamed of as an announcer, is to do a game like this.
Joel, whenever we have you on our podcast, it always sounds like we're fawning over you. It's because we're fans of you, and I always say the reason I like you as a broadcaster because you're so knowledgeable, but secondly, you can tell you're a fan of the game. You get excited, literally get excited about games like this.
Well, not too excited, Dan, but you know.
Not excited in that way. I think what Dan's trying to say is he's imagining you with an erection right now, Joe.
I don't think you can't say that.
You guys, I can't.
This is not your podcast.
Can't say that.
I can say that. No. Erection's not a swear word.
Jay, this is serious journalistic
I'm sorry.
Business. This is the herd.
That's true.
Clean it up.
That's true. It's not. I'm sorry. I apologize to all the listeners and the viewers, guys. We got to wrap it up. Joel Klatt, thank you so much.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
It's the herd. Colin's not here. Jay and Dan filling in. I'm Dan. Jay's the tall one. We host Fox Sports Live every single night. Every single night. It's starting Monday to Friday, this coming Monday.
Yeah, weeknights on FS1. If you like what you hear on this show, maybe you want to start watching our highlight program.
Or listen to our podcast, the Jay and Dan podcast.
Yeah, maybe you want to check that out.
I tell a lot of great yarns.
You spin a lot of terrific yarns about your life.
I'm probably the worst storyteller in the history of
storytelling. Dan O'Toole here.
Well, you did tell a couple of great yarns about our executive producer, Michael Hughes, earlier, and I think he's excited that America knows more about him now. Dan.
A gentleman that Colin refers to as Mark Hughes.
Mark Hughes.
Hey, Mark.
We should mention, of course, that the Green Bay Packers... Wow. An incredible comeback victory over the poor, gosh, you feel for the Detroit Lions fans.
We were
fans.
In this room when it happened last night. We told the, again, excellent story of you having the feed that was 30 seconds before ours, so you knew the outcome before everyone else.
I did, 27-23. So the Packers now at 8-4 would take over first place in the NFC North if the Vikings lose to the Seahawks this weekend. And my information may be a little off there. But the point is, the Packers, it was doom and gloom for so long.
You call it a season-saving win.
They were all over Olivia Munn. They were blaming Aaron Rodgers' girlfriend for the poor play of this Green Bay Packers team. And now they're back in it.
A couple of things. I can't believe Aaron Rodgers is only 32.
I was shocked.
He looks 42.
Yeah, he looks rough.
He's a man.
He looks like he's lived hard.
Secondly, his arm strength. And we talked about this. Ephraim Salam, who's coming on our show, we posted the question to him last night on Fox Sports Live, said, what's the best arm you've seen in a quarterback? He said, young Michael Vick.
Yeah, that was an interesting answer.
So we'll be talking to him about that.
But Sean Merriman said the same thing. Young Michael Vick, best arm he'd ever seen. So young Michael Vick. I know if Jason Whitlock were here, as Dan eats a fresh strawberry from the...
I wanted to get it out of the way. It looked weird.
From the Fox cafeteria, which is called Moe's.
I asked
the
Karen,
character.
She thought I was crazy. She said, do you want anything from the calf or from the avocado room? We're getting Jay a bagel. I said, can I have one strawberry?
Karen, our stage manager, who's right over here, you're saying you actually asked her for the one berry?
That's all I felt like. It was delicious.
It's going down well?
This strawberry's touched a kiwi, though.
I'll say this. This is good radio right here. Dan eating strawberries. But Sean Merriman said the same thing. Michael Vick, best arm ever. I know Jason Whitlock would say Jeff George had the best arm he had ever seen. He's a big Jeff George guy.
I'd love to know the worst arm. Tebow?
Current day Peyton Manning?
Yeah. We'll talk to Ephraim.
Yeah, we will. Also wanted to mention, Dan, you had something you wanted to talk about here.
What's that?
Oh, before I get to that, the NFL yesterday announcing Coldplay will headline Super Bowl 50 halftime show. Lot of negative reaction to this. Coldplay, a band that sells out arenas all over the world. There it is.
That's the one song everyone can name.
Right,
Clocks.
Clocks. Or that. Lights will
drive. I don't know that song at all.
There they are. The one guy was married to Gwyneth Paltrow until he couldn't stand her anymore. The rest of the world was like, are you kidding? You're going to marry that woman with that horrible blog? Yes, I'll do it.
Coldplay's got a strange, not reputation, but fan base. They're almost ostracized.
Well, I think at the beginning, when Parachutes came out and A Rush of Blood to the Head, which had Clocks on it, there was thought that this was the next U2. This was going to be the next huge band. And then I think they just annoyed the hell out of everyone. And everyone was like, you know what? Not into it.
You know what I like about them?
Talk to me.
They all make the same amount of money. They all make the same.
And you know who they got that from? U2. U2 told them, you have to make sure everyone makes the same amount of money or else. So that's why...
That's why we make the same amount of money.
We make the same amount of scratch. And that's why Adam Clayton...
I was kidding, do we?
Yeah, we do.
Oh, right.
I don't know.
What a bonus for me.
And I was told Adam Clayton, who's the bass player for U2, easiest bass lines ever, makes the same amount of money as all of them. Here's some of the other bands. We put it out on the Herd's Twitter feed, at the Herd. Follow us.
Well, first off, can I pose the question? Who is the biggest band in the world right now?
Great question. U2. I'd say U2.
No, not anymore.
Yeah, I think they are. Well, here's my suggestion. Here's who I think it should have been instead of Coldplay. Should have been Arcade Fire. Cool, edgy, sells out arenas. Great songs, right? Everyone would have to dress up. Everyone would have to dress up. They make all their audience dress up. Suddenly, everyone at the Super Bowl is dressed up, and they look great. They look like Michael Hughes coming to see you at the gym.
Here's the thing. Here, I'm going to make the case for this. People are going to eviscerate me, but...
Zac Brown Band.
No. The Biebs.
No, it can't be the Biebs.
He is a massive star.
Yeah, I know, but it can't... The Biebs?
Yep,
Justin Bieber. How about Bieber, Carly Rae Jepsen, and Bryan Adams? The All-Canadian Super Bowl halftime
show. Or you could go
show.
Biebs and Drake. Yeah. Drake and The Weeknd, three biggest acts right now, All-Canadian.
Not bad. Here's some of the suggestions we got for alternate Super Bowl halftime entertainment. Here's one I never thought of, and they would be incredible. And they're a Bay Area band. The Super Bowl is in the Bay Area at Levi's Stadium. Metallica. Boom. Awesome band, right? They come out, they kick ass, they rock it.
Yep.
Right?
But
why
they are
isn't
not
it Metallica?
Current. When was the last song they put out?
Yeah, but that's the thing. The Super Bowl halftime show doesn't have to be someone current. Like Prince did it, 30 years after Purple Rain. You don't have to be on the charts.
Okay.
You just have to be a
big
band.
I don't mind
band.
That one.
AC/DC, right?
Yep.
How good would
they
that be?
They only have
be?
One original member, though.
Good point. Everyone else is in jail for drug trafficking. Kiss. That would be fun.
No. Attempted murder, I believe.
Okay.
Hiring a hitman.
That's not Kiss. We're still talking about AC/DC.
Yeah, Kiss. They're all fine. Except the ones that are dead.
How about Kanye? Kanye West?
No.
Okay.
Can't name a song of his.
Sorry, Dan. I don't think you're the demographic.
But you did bring up the Zac Brown Band. I know you're kidding, but they are one of the biggest bands in the world right now.
I think down the road, maybe they would be okay.
And their lead singer is mad at me.
Yeah. Why don't you tell that story very briefly? You were at the final
NASCAR
race of the season.
I went to the final NASCAR race at Homestead. It was a torrential downpour during the race, so I had to buy a camouflage $10 NASCAR shirt. And I've said this on the podcast. NASCAR fans will not be upset by me saying NASCAR gear...
A lot of camo.
So you can't buy something subdued.
Right. It's
so
like
I
UFC
this.
Gear. It's
so we were in a golf cart at the end of the race, and this guy jumps on the golf cart in front of us, and he's sitting on the back with his two kids on his knee, and I'm like, turn to my buddy Dave next to me. I'm like, I think that's the lead singer of the Zac Brown Band. As you pointed out, you mean Zac Brown?
Yeah, the lead singer of the Zac Brown Band, everyone. Is Zac Brown.
Okay, so I'm driving the golf cart, and I'm like, and I honked at his kids. I'm like, hey, you want to race? So he sees me in this camo gear, and they're like,
right.
this guy's crazy.
He thinks you're terrifying.
He thinks I'm like all running on the rubber fumes from the burnout, and he goes, this guy's going to run us over. So I'm driving safely. It's very crowded. I'm from here to you away. He says, hey, you back up a little? I'm like, what's that? He goes, my babies. My babies, back up. I'm like, okay.
He was talking about his kids were in the cart with him. Yeah. You were terrifying them.
Yeah, that's my...
Why were you trying to terrify the Zac Brown Band lead singer who we've established is, in fact, Zac Brown? Why were you trying to terrify his children at a NASCAR
I wasn't.
Race?
I was driving safely.
You were like Vin Diesel pulling up to a four-way stop and revving the engine.
So that's my Zac Brown story.
That was another terrific story. We need a sting maybe, John, for... Dan, story time with Dan.
You don't
Dan.
Really know when they end.
Yeah.
Or when they've begun.
But you'll never forget them. You'll never forget the stories. Dan, you'll like this. Here's an AP story, Associated Press. Rio Olympic water dangerously polluted. Rio de Janeiro's Olympic waterways are teeming with dangerous pathogens, both far offshore and near land. Waters at the host site of the 2016 Summer Olympics were first examined in July, independent testing for both viruses and bacteria, and showing a lot of bacteria. Basically, the point is, Dan, that
look at that.
The Rio Olympics might be more polluted than the Sochi Olympics, which we were lucky enough to attend for Fox. I can only imagine that Fox Sports president Eric Shanks is right now booking our flights to Rio to go to Rio
next
year.
We survived Russia.
Right. We made it through.
We survived wild dogs.
I actually have a funny story about that. I texted Eric Shanks and I said, I just have two questions. This is during the baseball playoffs. They were showing our feed in Canada. I said, I want to ask you two questions. Number one, any chance you could give a shout out to our moms? They're up watching during one of the promos. And number two, what are the chances we'll be going to Rio since we did such a good job at Sochi? He texted back just two numbers. He said, number one, 100%. Number two, 0%.
As Michael Hughes, who we've brought up before on this show, has pointed out, he says, if the next Olympics were on the Fox lot, you would not be going. But yeah, we survived wild dogs. The wild dogs, we've told everyone, were the nicest wild dogs I've ever met. I've never met wild dogs, but they obeyed the rules.
They weren't wild dogs. It was like the 50s where everyone would just let their dogs out of the house without leashes or collars or anything, right? And they just wander around the streets of Sochi. It was fine.
I think some people probably took care of their dogs in the 50s.
No, they took care of them, but we just let them go, right? And then they'd come back. It's like the kids, you know? You'd be like, be back by supper time kind of thing.
It's my dog Fonzie. He'd walk us to school, and then he'd find his way home.
Okay, that's another. Do we have the story time sting? That's another story for Dan.
We had 60 people in our school from grades 1 to 8.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, so what about this water?
We're going to talk about water, but before we do, when we were in Sochi, we did an amazing segment called What the Russia Are You Eating? Where Dan would eat unidentified Russian foods and have to guess what they were. I think we have one of them right here.
And now, what the Russia are you eating?
It's me eating some chips, if you're listening on the radio.
Oh! Red caviar potato chips.
Red caviar potato chips.
Couple of things. You do not like that, and you are fat in that.
Yeah, I was 20 pounds heavier.
You are fat there. We were drinking vodka and eating McDonald's.
Our diet was vodka to kill all the bacteria.
Yeah.
McDonald's every day, because by day two in our hotel, it was like an all-inclusive, essentially. Yeah. And if you've been to an all-inclusive anywhere, by day two, you can't stand the smells coming out of that kitchen.
What happened was,
let alone the food.
The first day, and they were so nice. The Russians at the hotel were so sweet, and we genuinely mean that. Wonderful people. But
they aren't listening.
No, I know. But every time I say it, I'm trying to perpetuate. I hate the stereotype that Russian people are nice.
They were very nice. They did not like me.
Incredibly nice.
Did not like me.
Well, you were not nice to them.
No, that's untrue. Everyone got a Valentine's Day card except me.
Yeah. What does that say? Maybe you need to treat people better.
No, I just don't really talk to people. And I don't, especially when I don't know their language.
If you don't talk to someone, they're not going to give you a Valentine.
I guess that's true.
I thank you for ignoring me. Be mine.
Again,
heart
you make,
with an arrow through it.
You make me sound like a cold human. I would sit with Peter and have breakfast.
My erections have returned.
Dan O'Toole has a couple of wood waters. He has a black water.
Soil. You can read the bottles.
And a birch water in his hand. He is blindfolded. Sophisticated blindfold. It's a tie, I think?
Believe so. Whoever wore it last smells great.
Okay, good. It is Sharif's tie.
By the way,
works
this
on
is,
the show.
This is a lot easier on the TV audience because they don't have to look at my eyes.
That's true. Which we established earlier in the show. You very likely hit the dispensary before you came to the show today. Your eyes bloodshot.
Wait, that dispensary doesn't open until 5 p.m.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point.
That.
We all know that here in Los Angeles. Dan, here we go. So try the one in your right hand first.
Okay.
And sample that. Tell us what you think. Good radio here.
That's the birch water. Correct?
Well, try the other one first, and then we'll let's see. That's your guess. Try the other one. Having a hard time there with the microphone.
That's dirt water.
Okay, you are 100% correct.
The birch water, nice little sweetness to it.
Really? So it doesn't taste like wood? Like water filtered through your deck?
Through your pressure-treated deck. It kind of tastes like aloe water.
like aloe water. And then what about the dirt water? Again, I'm not really understanding the nutritional value of that.
Can you see? It's black.
So it's essentially if you just took a cup and scooped out the bottom of your potted plant.
Yeah.
That's what you'd be drinking.
How
right
is that
there.
Good for you?
I don't know. It's a great question. It's weird. But you spotted this in Whole Foods and said, I need to bring this to the world's attention on the herd.
For the case that we've gone too far.
Well, we have gone too far.
Water was good by itself.
And lucky for us, Dan, our guest is ready to join us. He is a National Hockey League Hall of Famer. He's a Los Angeles Kings legend. He is a friend of our show, Fox Sports Live. And he's the current LA Kings president of business operations. And like us, a proud Canadian, it's Luke Robitaille. Lucky Luke, how are you this morning, my friend?
How are you guys doing?
Well, speaking of water, I said water's just water. But you would have seen during your playing career the advancement of water into, like, different aids to hydrate you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I went from being, when I was 16 years old, our coach says we weren't allowed to drink too much water on the bench. So he was letting us just suck on ice cubes.
Wow. They didn't want you to drink too much water?
Yeah, somehow someone had told them that we could get cramps. So he didn't want to.
That's how much
this thing has evolved.
And then what was the first sports drink that made it onto a bench that you were on then?
I would say it was probably Gatorade.
So you didn't have a trainer that came up with some other concoction before that came out?
No, but I'll tell you, in 1986, when I started in LA, in between periods, like we'd had a little table in the locker room, we'd come in and our trainer would have Gatorade, water, Diet Coke, and Coke.
Wow.
Those were our drinks between periods. You could come in and grab a cup of whichever one you wanted.
Did you ever have a teammate that you used to go smoke darts during the intermissions?
Yeah,
there was when I started, cigarette was kind of on its way out, but we still had, I think it was like three guys, and they would go smoke in the bathroom between periods. One of them I remember was our goalie. It was hysterical. He'd sit on the john and smoke.
Al Iafredi, the former Capitals defenseman who had the greatest hockey hair in the history of hockey.
Yeah.
There's clips of him just about before he's about to do a post-game interview. He says, how much time do I have?
Yeah.
30 seconds? Okay.
Yeah.
And then just flick it off camera.
Like a real badass. Hey, Luke, I wonder if you've heard much about Austin Matthews. And for our hockey fans who may not know, he's the young American kid from Phoenix who decided not to go to the Canadian Hockey League where you started, Luke. He went to Switzerland.
Yep.
He's expected to be the number one overall pick. I'd just love to get your thoughts on that process and whether you think that was a good idea that he did that. He's lighting it up in Switzerland right now.
I love talking to you guys. You're bringing up Austin Matthews in the United States. No one's bringing him up. This is awesome. He's phenomenal. I saw him skate. He was training in L.A. last summer. And I happened to see him play a little scrimmage with a bunch of number one draft picks and so forth. And he is phenomenal. He's right up there with that Connor McDavid. He's got that speed. He does everything at very high end. And I think he's going to be a real impact player in the league. And it probably was the right choice for the kid to go to Europe. I mean, he's being an American. He had different choices. And for him, I think it gives him a jump start on most young guys where he's playing against men. And when you play against men, it helps your development to get to the NHL level, you know, because the expectations are that he will play in the NHL next year. And so for him to be playing over there against guys who are 27, 28 years old, it's certainly going to be a big advantage for him.
NHL legend Luke Robitaille is our guest. And Luke, a lot of the talk, especially in Canada, but a lot of the chatter around the NHL this year, aside from the Dallas Stars, is how do we increase scoring? So you have people, again, this happens every few years. People say, oh, we got to increase the nets. We got to decrease the goal pad size. Your take on this, does anything need to be done to get more goals in the net?
I mean, everybody wants to see more goals, but I do believe like hockey or our game is about scoring chances. The more scoring chances you have, the more goals you will get. But even if you watch a game, and if the game ends up 2-1, and there's like 20 scoring chances on both sides, it's a great game. The problem is if the game ends up 2-1, there's only 5 or 6 scoring chances on both sides, then it's a real boring game. So to me, it's always about scoring chances, because then you know sooner or later you'll end up scoring the goals.
Luke Robitaille, I have to admit, if I look back on a younger Dan O'Toole, and if you told him, when you're 40 years old, you'll be talking hockey with Luke Robitaille, with Jay, while on a radio show in the United States, I would have said, yeah, right. We just did it.
We did it, Luke. We loved having you on, my friend.
All right, thanks. It's great talking to you guys.
Okay, my friend, take care. It's Herd Line News time. Dan, yeah, head over there.
I'm going to be quick this time.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News.
There's no time. Dan, we don't have any time for this. You took so long, again, to get over to the desk.
I was here before the music ran out.
You took too long. We've got to cut. We've got an interview. We've got to do it now.
This is my first time here.
Our guest joining us in studio, quick story. All of the Big East coaches were here at FS1 for a conference before the season started. And I got off an elevator, and this coach got off the elevator and said, hey, Jay. And I said, he recognized me?
We have a viewer?
We have a viewer?
Woo, we did it.
This is incredible. Jay Wright, Villanova Wildcats in the Herd.
Awkward move.
Huge. This is incredible. I get the fist tap. This is so cool. Now, Jay, as you sit down, I want to apologize because we are, of course, the fill-in hosts, which if you were on The Tonight Show in the early 80s would be like going to be on The Tonight Show and then realizing that Jay Leno was filling in and not being able to sit in with Johnny Carson. So sorry about this.
When people filled in for Johnny, no one filled in for Ed, right?
No, I think
no,
Ed was...
We still got Ed.
Ed still was there?
Still was there.
Ed did pretty well for himself, so you guys are good.
That's
good
true.
To go.
Thank you. And he had a great name, too.
Exactly. I love that guy.
But in all seriousness, you are a big Colin fan.
Yeah.
When he was working local radio back in Bristol, Connecticut, you would often stop by and hang out and chat with him. Is that right?
I even go back further with Colin. I was an assistant coach at UNLV in the early 90s. And... we had our second child was when Colin was the TV anchorman, and he covered UNLV basketball. And at that time, UNLV basketball, at the end of every practice, all three TV stations would be there at the end of every practice.
Right.
And Colin was the guy. He was young. He might have been like early 20s. We had our second child was born, and we're going through names, and we're like, Colin. We're like, yeah, Colin Coward. My wife's like, yeah, Colin Coward. Let's do it. So we named our second son after him.
Wow. How big did his ego get after you?
Every time I go on a show, that's how he introduces me.
Very quickly, your team, the Wildcats, number 8 in the AP poll, taking on OU at Pearl Harbor, 7 Eastern, FS1 on Monday. Incredible. Yeah. How excited are you about this?
So fired up. Like the whole trip... you know, we were talking earlier, the most important thing you do on a trip like this is win the game before you leave.
Right.
Because it's miserable.
Right.
You know, you're going to play with everybody after you just lost. And so we came in last night, and California actually has the fourth most alumni of any state in the country for Villanova. So we got a big event tonight. We're going to have an open practice. All of our Southern California alumni are coming. We got hundreds of people coming. We'll do that. Tomorrow morning we'll go to Hawaii. And as you guys know, Fox set this up to really honor the naval men and women that serve in Pearl Harbor, which is so cool to be a part of. We always tell our players, I respect our players so much for putting their reputation on the line every night out there in front of people, taking the hits. And the only people I respect more are the people that serve our country. So for our guys to be able to go out there and put this game on for them with Fox is really cool.
You go to Hawaii, what's that, a five and a half hour flight?
6 or something like that, yeah.
So when you're looking at your flight times, you're looking at when you arrive, this stuff fascinates me. Do you talk to a sleep expert, say, okay, when's the best time to land? When should we take off?
Yeah, Dan, we go through every aspect of this in terms of what time should we get the guys up in the morning to get back on time? What time should they go to sleep? We have the chance, for example, we have the chance on Sunday morning to do a sunrise tour. But we didn't want to do it because we want the guys to sleep longer, and we're going to do our tour at night.
Haleakala.
So everything. Everything. Everything sleep-wise, meal-wise, we got it all down to the minute. We really do. And that's why we stopped off in L.A. to break up the trip. To ease our way into the time zone, where it's really going to get us is on the way back.
Right.
We leave on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, and we get back at 6:30 in the morning on Wednesday.
Oh.
And the guys are going right to class. So that we've already discussed that with him too.
So take us through a typical, I've always wanted to ask a college coach this, take us through these days in this day and age for a major program like yourself, a typical day for these kids, because is it practices in the morning? Is it the studying that they have to do? Like you said, they have to go back to class after doing this incredibly long trip, almost forget the academics that are involved in everything, right?
Yeah, you know, during the season, if we, if we play a road game, let's say we play at DePaul in Chicago, we charter right back after the game. So we'll get back at 2 or 3 in the morning, and they will, no exaggeration, and we're proud of this. I mean, we have 100% graduation rate, and the reason we do is because they'll get back at 2 or 3 in the morning. They'll be in an 8:30 class in the morning, and then they'll go through their classes during the day, and then they'll come in at like 2:30, 2:45. And do their rehab. Whoever's got injuries, we'll practice. We'll watch film. And then they might have a strength training, short strength training. And then they sit in cold tubs. And then we have a training table where all their meals are picked out by our nutritionist. And then they've got to meet with our academic advisor after that to go over what they've got for the next day. These guys, they really do put in an incredible amount of time. That's why I said earlier, I have so much respect for what they do. I really do.
I'm tired. You just saying all that.
That sounds exhausting.
Like, it is.
It's really a big thing if I like go for a bike ride before I come into the I'm not even kidding. I'm like, I think I accomplished something. I got outside.
The rest day is important also. Like we monitor their sleep. Like for instance, how many hours a night do you sleep?
Not a lot.
Last night, none, because you were back here.
I'm drinking yerba mates at midnight. I always thought we are healthy.
I always thought 6 to 8 hours was good, but for a college athlete, they need 10 hours sleep a night, given the exertion that they put forth during the day. So we monitor that. Even on their day off, we have them. They got to come in and sit in these cold tubs, which I sprained my ankle and I put my ankle in that cold tub. Like, I don't like my ankle. They're sitting there up to their shoulders in this, you know, for 15 minutes and then go into a hot tub.
How do you monitor their sleep? Someone sit there and watch them sleep?
Yeah.
Right next to their bed.
Yeah, we have them chart.
They chart it. So no one's sitting next to them.
Yeah. And then we also got these monitors.
Like monitors on them.
Yeah.
Wow.
We do the same thing. We do the same thing during practice. See, I'm telling you this because I'm all proud of myself because this is all new. I'm starting to get good at this now.
Right.
The last couple of years when we were starting this, I was like, I don't know if we need all this crap. Like, this is crazy. This is too many numbers for me.
Jay, before we let you go, we have to ask you about your suits. You are one of the best dressed, not just college coaches, but coaches, period.
Jay, yours are up there. I like you guys go with the Euro tight better than me, man.
But this is the thing, Jay. We are dressed. Like we walk in, we're dressed. Look at this guy. First of all, you're movie star handsome.
Yeah, have you ever been asked to be a character actor?
Yeah. You're in LA now. You're walking down the street. Someone runs into you, says, I want you in the next Scorsese film. No, you look great. Do you have a suit guy? Like, do you have a tailor?
Nando, yeah. Nando DiBiase.
Oh, that sounds
great. Great little Italian
right?
guy.
Yeah.
He's a character, man. He's awesome. And he picks out my stuff and he makes it for me. He's a good guy.
Well, we wish you the best of luck in Hawaii against OU. I think it's going to be a terrific event.
We were supposed to be going to Hawaii at the start of the year. They said, yeah, you're going to set up the desk there, do the show. Then everyone just stopped talking about it, and here we are. So we're
happy to be with you.
Colin didn't sneak out there, did he? Did Colin sneak out there and leave you with this?
We're trying to determine where he is right now. That's probably where he is. He's probably already there.
We'll say hi to him for you.
Yeah, thanks, guys. You so much, and we'll see you on FS1. That will be Jay Wright. Thank you.
Thanks,
how about
guys.
A big hand? For Jay Wright, everybody.
Thank you.
Villanova Wildcats, 7 Eastern, FS1, this Monday against OU as they honor the veterans Pearl Harbor.
Hey, who's that good-looking guy?
It's the Herd.
If you're wondering what you stumbled into if you just tuned in, well, here's a tweet from Chris Budry9. Watching Dan on the Herd makes me want to burn my child's Christmas presents. But watching Jay makes me want to buy them again.
Yeah, baby.
I think that's great. If we have a billboard ever, there it is.
That could be a good new slogan for our show, Fox Sports Live. Weeknights on FS1.
Speaking of new shows, we're going to talk about one that may get greenlit after this upcoming segment.
This is incredible. He is a former offensive tackle for several teams. He was drafted by the Falcons, played for the Broncos, Jags, Texans, and unfortunately, the Lions. Oh, boy. The news just keeps getting worse for Detroit fans. Ladies and gentlemen, FS1 NFL analyst and casual dresser Ephraim Salaam.
Come
Ladies
on
and
in
gentlemen,
here.
Bring him in here. Looking good, looking good.
Good snap. There it is.
Pound it out. Oh, there it is. Can you just stand next to Dan for a second? This is exciting. Oh, yeah. There it is. Have a seat. How are you?
I'm good.
We've always joked we wanted to have you on our podcast, the Jay and Dan podcast, for a long time, and scheduling issues have prevented it.
Not scheduling issues. I actually be scheduled to be on the podcast, and then the day of, you'd call me and say, we have to cancel you. Someone more important is on.
Luke Robitaille would call, and then we can't not have Luke on.
We're getting into the particulars
exactly right
here.
I just want to say I've been watching this show since it's been on, and it's never been a hockey segment like that ever, ever on the show. I just want to throw that out there, okay?
That's true.
It just so happens that wherever you guys go, hockey follows
you.
I just want to put that in. We're trying to
slip it into the shows casually, now, one segment at a time.
Now, we mentioned it earlier in the show. Regular viewers of Fox Sports Live, which there are very few, would know that you are one of the originals. We had another original on, Carissa Thompson, and then there's us two, and then that's it.
That's it.
Everyone, look at this picture. Now, if you're watching on TV, we have a group shot. Ephraim Salaam, Andy Roddick, Gary Payton, Jay Onwright, Dan O'Toole, Carissa Thompson, Donovan McNabb. When this was being taken, we were all in the same room.
Yes, we were all at the photo shoot together.
Ephraim, describe how the photographer approached you about this photo.
Okay, so as you can see, we're all there. It looks like, hey, everyone get in. We're going to take this picture together,
yeah.
Right? So everyone was fitting in. I scooted myself in. I was trying to get nice and tight to Andy so I can get in the photo. The photographer looked at me and said, oh, no, no, no. You stand over to the side. And I was like, wait, what? It's a group shot, right?
It was the greatest double take. You said, but I'm right here.
I said, I'm literally physically here. And he was like, no, no, it's not enough room, okay? It's not enough room. We'll put you in after. That's what happened.
And then cut to you standing by yourself making that stupid
one.
They made you do this. They made you hold up one finger for Fox Sports One.
So I'm just standing there like this while everyone else in that picture is standing in front of me laughing at you.
Our premise is simply this. Dan and I, from Canada, our work visas have expired. We're in danger of being deported out of the United States. There's a little-known loophole that allows you to adopt Dan and I as your sons. They take out the age restriction rule on adoption, and we move in with you in your house in a hit Fox sitcom called Me and My Boys. I understand that you have already written theme music for said sitcom.
Look, I'm so excited about this, and we talked about it. We've been talking about this for about 2
Today's
years.
Today's the day we've let the world know.
Dude, the world is going to know. I was so excited. I was at home last night, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to lay down some tracks. I'm going to lay down our theme song. I think you guys will like it.
We've never heard this.
Let's check it out.
This is cool.
They came to the States to get a new life started, and then they found out they were getting deported. But then they checked the law, found a little known loophole. They could stay with me if I took on a new role. Me and my boys, I became their dad. If you think it's weird, well, screw you, jerk.
Oh, my God.
That was incredible. That's my vocal range right
there. Couple of things.
I could do that.
You are, what a voice.
Did you write it?
Yes. Like a bird. I sing like a bird.
That was incredible. Can we go back to the full screenshot of the two of us? And this is a premise for one of the episodes.
Why don't we have bodies?
It's just our heads. Are you massaging us there?
I'm tucking you into bed.
Oh, you're tucking us in.
Yes.
Oh, I see.
See, but look, the premise of the show would be like, you understand that this is just to keep you guys.
Yeah, it's just a facade. Right. I understand that. I'm like, I get it.
But you go all out. Like, you want me to read a story to
you every night,
tuck you in,
give
you a bath, which is completely inappropriate.
That sounds exciting to me.
And so that's the dynamic, right?
And those are the antics we get into. So you, like, have to accompany us to work and stuff. You don't need to be here. Jay's like, come on, people could be watching.
I make lunches for you. I put notes in your lunch boxes.
It's definitely going to hit.
We have a second channel.
Yeah, we got another channel. Just go on your converter. converter and you look for...
Again, no one calls it that. We've discovered that.
Oh,
no one
right.
calls
what
it
do
a
they
converter.
Call it?
A remote.
A remote, right.
Do you call
that's
it a converter? Ephraim Salam is here, our good friend.
Ephraim Salam, our NFL analyst.
Because that's what they used to be referred to as. Hey,
where?
Throw me the converter.
Yeah. In Canada?
In the Commonwealth countries, yes.
Not here so much.
Another word that people don't know, parkade. I say, oh, I went down to the parkade, get something. They're like, what was that? That's a parking garage.
That? It sounds like some sort of like Chinese game. Ephraim Salam, you have an amazing story about a good friend and former NFL player and former teammate of yours, Chester Pitts, who you essentially, not only you participated in the amazing race together, you discovered this man. You created his life, essentially.
You know, without me, I don't... Chester would still be at the grocery store, but you know, I don't want any credit or anything like that. No, but when I was a senior at San Diego State University, it was a grocery store I used to always go to, and there was this ginormous kid in there. Like, he went to school, he was just a regular student. In essence, he was a nerd. He was an engineer student. He was giant, okay, like a giant nerd with like bifocal glasses and a little tape on the side. The whole nine, the stereotypical nerd, but just 100 pounds more.
Right.
And he was a bagger extraordinaire, extremely fast with the bags, put the cans at the bottom, the eggs on the top. It was miraculous.
You could already see he had the speed.
I was like, look at the hand speed on this guy, right? So I was having a big party, and he helped me out with my groceries, and he was just like, hey, man, you know, I had a nice car at the time. He was like, how can I get one of these cars and all that? And I was like, have you ever thought about playing football? And he was just like, I'm not really a sports guy. I'm like in the band or something like that. And I was just like, the band?
How did this happen?
What are you doing in the band, right? And I was like, you should really think about it. You know, just walk on, think about it. And then I left. I went on into the pros and left. And I remember a couple years later, I turned on the San Diego State game, and they were like, starting at left tackle, Chester Pitts. And I was like, what?
He didn't let you know?
Yeah, he didn't tell you?
Because I was gone. I was out being famous and you know, going to the Super Bowls and stuff. Come on, I didn't have time to keep tabs. But Chester ended up getting drafted in the second round out of San Diego State after being a walk-on and getting his scholarship. And he gets drafted in the second round to the Texans. And a couple years later, I signed as a free agent at the Texans, and we ended up playing right next to each other. I was the left tackle. He was the left guard.
And you probably reminded him every day.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know you wouldn't be here without me, right? Our lockers were right next to each other, and I would just be like, hey, Chester, without me, this wouldn't be happening, right?
So he's picking up the tab for every lunch.
Well, Chester never spends any money.
Oh,
so
there you go. Okay.
His first 3 years in the league. And mind you, he was a second-round draft pick, got a big signing bonus. 3 years into the league, he didn't even have cable television. And his thing was, why should I get cable? I get four channels for free.
Well,
four channels for free. That's Chester Pick. I don't like to call him cheap. I like to call him frugal. He still has his signing bonus from when he got drafted years ago.
Right.
Like, he's a gazillionaire.
Well,
right?
that's
great to hear when you hear
Dan.
The horror stories about
absolutely.
The guys just blowing through
all
the money.
And then how did you guys decide to do the amazing race? Like, what, were you guys just like, we could win this thing. We could do this.
You know what? I was like, we had both retired, and the opportunity presented itself, and I just wanted to compete at a high level with him again.
But wait, what do you mean the opportunity, like Probst showed up at your door and was like, dudes,
well, you
race.
Know I'm famous, right?
Oh, it's not Probst.
It's not Probst.
It's the Kiwi.
Yeah. Probst is Survivor.
It's Survivor, which I wouldn't do, but they reached out to me and they said, hey, are you still interested in doing the amazing race?
Phil Keegan, that's it.
Phil.
Yeah.
Because my wife and I were actually going to do it while I was still playing. So we had already started the process.
Okay.
And so I could never do it while I was playing because I couldn't take off a month and just disappear into other countries. And so they called me and said, hey, are you still interested in doing it? And I was like, yeah, of course.
And so you go do the amazing race and people that watched it know that you were booted off after you missed a flight.
Oh, we didn't miss one flight. We missed like seven flights.
How does that happen?
I have no idea. It's never happened before.
How are you so bad at the amazing race?
It was ridiculous. Every flight was canceled, delayed.
But how did everyone else get on?
Don't blame the airlines.
First of all, okay, I don't like your tone, okay? This is still a sore moment. This is one of my favorite shows. And we came in first place the leg prior, right? Won a trip for two to Turks and Caicos, which is excellent, by the way, if you guys haven't gone.
Beautiful. I love Turks and Caicos, yeah.
And then it just, we tried to get a leg up on everybody. The travel agent hit us with the old banana in the tailpipe.
Oh,
and
classic move. Just, classic Eddie Murphy.
Well, yeah. That's the other thing. You dealt with a travel agent. You used to do everything online.
Nobody does that anymore.
We're online. We're on where?
The internet.
What is that?
Orbitz.com.
No, we don't have anything that we can go online with.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Dan, well, we can never do
you're
the
not
Amazing
to use
Race.
The internet?
No, not on, you don't have a phone or anything like that. We got sent to a travel agent.
Next time we'll send Dan a tape
Thank
of the
you.
Show.
I appreciate that.
So the Amazing Friday, Race is keeping the travel agency business.
That's it. That's the
in
only
business.
Thing.
The only thing that is.
Okay. Every Friday, Colin does his herd hierarchy. It's usually NFL teams. We decided to switch it up.
Okay.
John, hit it.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to Colin.
Okay, we're not going to do that.
No.
All right, that's boring to us. What we want to do is...
Are we going to do hockey?
Oh, no.
We're counting down the coolest dudes in the building.
It's the FS1 Power Rankings.
I like it.
All right, we put this all together. This is incredible stuff. We're actually going to start at number one. We're going to start with the coolest, move down to the fifth coolest. And we all... It's funny, we had the meeting today for the herd, and everyone instantly decided this guy was the coolest guy at FS1.
Well, thank you, guys.
Jim Jackson.
It's Jim Jackson.
Number
I'm sorry. It's Jim what? Jackson. Yeah.
Jim Jackson.
Played,
you know what?
Played for 42 NBA teams. There aren't 42 NBA teams, but he played for that many. Handsome.
I'll go with that one.
Very kind guy. Such a great analyst. Number two, we've been talking about him on the herd today. It's Randy Moss.
What?
Right there.
Yeah
Randy
okay,
Moss.
I like Randy as
he
well.
He walks into the room, he commands your attention.
He's a terrific person, great analyst. And number three, again, how about this guy? He's the KFC
Mike
spokesperson.
I agree with that.
Mike
so well dressed. He smells like he's rich.
He's like in the mafia.
Loves
right?
his it's Tito's
like
vodka.
The Godfather.
Yeah, he probably is in the mafia. And we've exposed it
and
here on the
And Tito's vodka sends him boxes of vodka. I'd like him just for that.
Why are we zooming in so close on his face? Is he wearing a cape there? Number four is the Heisman winner, Matt Leinart.
Just dreamy.
Right?
Yeah, he is.
Handsome.
Look at that
guy.
Hair.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Look at him.
And the thing
Smiles.
Is, when we moved here, we thought, oh, he's going to be a jerk.
Yeah.
Nicest guy.
He's the best guy.
I have a quick story. He big-timed me. I was already in the league. I was at a Laker game. He was still in college. He walked by. I said, hey, Matt, how you doing? He looked at me and just kept walking. Big-timed me.
No. Yeah. See, that's... Yep. I wish you hadn't told us that. That changes. We might have to drop him down. But number five, and I think everyone will agree with this one, it's our NFL analyst, Mike Garofalo.
Yeah.
And he's
grown the stubble in now.
Right?
He's a man.
He's got the beard going.
And he has unbridled rage at times.
Well, this is just it. You know, we have, of course, the home studios. So Mike has a studio at his house. And he has to set that studio up by himself. Struggled with it a little bit recently. Have a listen to this.
So if you're on the radio, he's trying to set up like a banner.
In front of the closet.
Yeah. It won't snap into place. And he's losing his S.
We had to bleep a lot of this. Sorry.
No going camping with him. He will not be setting up the tent.
And then he takes a break. He's like, okay, I'm done.
He's
I'm done
with
this.
That. So that's Mike Garofalo.
So that's our top five.
That's
Ephraim,
it.
How'd you like
Ephraim,
that?
But hold on. We do have others receiving votes. He didn't make the top five, Ephraim, but others receiving votes. Do we have some of those? So here we go. Tom Arnold doesn't even work here anymore.
Brady
did he get
Quinn,
votes?
What a guy.
Regis
so nice.
Philbin also doesn't even work here anymore.
Okay.
How does that happen?
Michael Strahan, he has every job in the business. He now makes suits. He's a handsome. He
works
kind.
He sells fiber, all of it. He does everything.
He sells chocolate bars that allow you to poop. Katie Nolan, network superstar.
I like Katie.
Yeah,
Katie's awesome.
Great. Don't forget to watch her show, Garbage Time, Midnight Eastern on FS1. And, of course, Howie Long. I mean, the guy's been in movies.
Okay. Yeah.
He's
really nice. I'm slightly terrified of him.
A little bit afraid of him. So no Ephraim there.
Guys.
No, your name's going to show up here, though.
We actually have one more board.
Good.
And this is FS1 personalities who received no votes.
Oh.
No votes for coolest guy at FS1. And there was only two. It was you.
Okay.
And it was Colin. You and Colin.
Wow.
You're in great company.
You're going to just disrespect me in my face and then disrespect him on his show.
Hey, that wasn't my idea. Well, wasn't my idea.
Did you guys get any votes?
No, we got none either.
Well, good.
So the four of us. You're in good company. You're in good company. Earlier,
but you have to agree, though. Jim Jackson's a cool dude.
Oh, he definitely
he's a great
is cool.
dude.
He definitely is cool.
Earlier, though, you I got to tell you, man, the funniest thing I've ever heard on FS1, your version of our sitcom opening for Me and My Boys,
yes.
Our sitcom that's going to be coming to Fox. I can only imagine that Mr. Murdoch is at this moment arranging for that show to be shot on this lot.
I'm excited about that.
Once
Thank
again,
you, Rupert.
Let's listen to Ephraim's version of the sitcom for Me and My Boys, the sitcom opening.
They came to the States to get a new life started, and then they found out they were getting deported. But then they checked the law, found a little known loophole. They could stay with me if I took on a new role. Me and my boys, I became their dad. If you think it's weird, well, screw you, jerk.
Ends abruptly.
I love the way it ends.
Ends abruptly.
Well, you know you have to be fast.
Now, the man who helped mix that track is a podcast regular of ours,
mm-hmm.
Engineer Jim. He's a longtime Fox employee. He's won awards. He's won Grammys. He's very accomplished, and he's joining us now on the Herd.
Jim, you're sitting in Christine's spot.
Engineer Jim, everybody.
You've got hair just like Christine.
Just like
not
beautiful.
Quite as nice as
beautiful hair.
How many takes? How many takes did you guys have for that song?
How many takes, Jim?
Oh, he nailed that. That was like what, second take,
yeah.
Maybe.
So,
wow.
So like a young Axl Rose, because you worked with Guns N' Roses in the day.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so you just walked right in. Someone sent us a tweet. They said, because we're talking about alternate possibilities for Super Bowl halftime entertainment, there's a rumor that Guns N' Roses is going to reunite. What about Guns N' Roses, Super Bowl halftime, Super Bowl 50?
Oh, they'd be awesome.
Right?
That'd be great.
They'd kill
it. Everybody would love that.
Now, Jim, we asked this question earlier. Who's the biggest band in the world right now? Jay said U2. I don't know... Yeah, they had made it their mantra. Their last album said, "This we are the biggest band in the world," but
right.
I think that's died down. Your take, Jim?
I still think there's an argument for the Stones to be the biggest band in the world.
I think you're right. I think you could be 100% right. We like to play 6 degrees of Engineer Jim with you, where we talk about a band that you may or may not have worked with or have a connection to. Sadly, yesterday, Scott Weiland, the lead singer of Stone Temple Pilots, passed away. Do you have a connection to Scott Weiland?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
Actually, Scott lived right down the street from me.
What?
He moved about a year ago, but he lived like 6 houses up from me on my street.
So would you see him out all the time?
Yeah, walking the kids to school, I'd see him out there every now and then, yeah.
And you worked with the guys in Velvet Revolver, of course, the former Guns N' Roses guys.
Yeah.
So you had a hand in the audition process a little bit.
I did. You know, when they were sort of auditioning singers for Velvet Revolver, I didn't get to their rehearsals a lot, but I just happened to be there the day they made the audition tape for Scott, that we sent that off to Scott to, you know, audition to get the part for Velvet. So,
and Scott seemed to have the problem that a lot of in the industry have, is extremely talented but extremely troubled.
Yeah. And a buddy of mine, my buddy Hoover, was on tour with him when I think he did his first solo record, and he got arrested in New York. And there were, you know, shots of him coming out of the police station, and there's Hoover right with him, you know.
Classic
and,
Hoover.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
So would you ever work with Ephraim Salaam on an album?
I would be honored.
I think we can put something down.
I'd be honored.
I love this idea.
I think that'd be good.
I think this is the moment everyone will remember, is the moment that we orchestrated Ephraim Salaam's number one album.
Yes.
Can we bring up 6 degrees of Engineer Jim with Coldplay, since we did mention them? Do you have any connection to them?
That's a good one.
As a matter of fact, yes.
Yes!
Wow.
Yes!
This is uncanny.
I didn't think you would, actually. So
I actually didn't work with them, but quite recently, and in the promo shots that they were using for the band announcing them playing on the Super Bowl, they shot that stuff over at Henson Studios, which used to be A&M Studios, which is actually the original Charlie Chaplin stage in Hollywood. And I was working in Studio D while they were working in Studio A. And it was great because my son was there with me. And he was like, "Dad, yeah, I was just taking a pee with the drummer from Coldplay." he thought it was the coolest thing.
That almost sounds creepy.
You knew the announcement. You knew the announcement weeks before everyone.
Well, I don't know anything.
I think you know. I think you know more than you're letting on to about this Guns N' Roses reunion. We'll get to that later. We're gonna take a
Jim,
quick break.
Jim, we can't thank you enough for
Jim,
coming.
Jim, thank
on.
You so much for coming.
Jim,
here.
Oh, thank you for laying my track down. I appreciate that. You made me sound like an angel.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Me
rocked.
And the boys.
I
wouldn't
it.
Go that thank far, Ephraim.
It, okay. It's gonna be pretty good. Ephraim Salaam, Jim Mitchell.
Looking out for love. Ken Rosenthal, our MLB on Fox baseball insider.
Thanks, Bonnie.
He's been paying attention to the news that's going on in baseball. We had the David Price signing in Boston. That's kind of old stuff right now. So we wanted to touch upon maybe Zach Greinke. First off, thanks for coming on, Ken. The news that's going to generate a lot of buzz, even outside of sports today, is Barry Bonds. He's back. The Marlins announced their new coaching staff, and Bonds is the hitting coach. Your thoughts on this?
I was just listening to a conference call right before you guys called with him on it, and he was saying all the right things about how it is his job now not to be a player but to help other players, and how he was excited for the opportunity because he had worked with Dexter Fowler and to a lesser extent A-Rod in the past couple of years. And they kind of persuaded him or talked to him about becoming a hitting coach, telling him he had a lot to offer. Anyone who knows Barry or who's watched Barry play, even, would know that this guy has an incredible knowledge of hitting. If he is willing to make the sacrifices necessary as a coach, and that includes not only working with players at the player's whims and not his, but the lesser spotlight and all of the things that come with coaching, then he could make a fabulous coach. And as for the idea, guys, oh, well, man, come on. He's got the PED connection. He shouldn't be in the game. No. Mark McGwire is in the game, and you cannot hold things against people forever, no matter what they did or are alleged to have done.
And the PED cloud is there, but it doesn't take away from the fact that before all that started, the guy can flat out hit.
Correct. And it doesn't take away from his knowledge. He didn't get that from PED. And this is a player with a 440-something career on-base percentage. He can add some things.
How does he look right now? I'd love to see that news conference. Is he must have...
No, it's a conference call, so I wasn't looking at him. And it wasn't a FaceTime, guys, okay? You don't do FaceTime conference calls. Well, so I don't know how he looks. I'm sure he looks smaller than he did as a player.
We'll wait till the one-on-one. Ken Rosenthal, we know you're busy. We thank you so much for coming on The Herd this morning. And have a terrific weekend, my friend.
You too, guys. Always good talking to you.
Thank you so much. That's Ken Rosenthal, Fox and FS1 Baseball Insider. It is time now, and this is exciting, for Dan to head over to Christine's desk for Herdline News.
Okay. No.
Turn on the news!
This is The Herdline News.
Dan dropped something and once again did not make it over in time. Still not there. Now climbing the chair. Now sitting down. Now he's ready. Good job, buddy.
The Marlins announcing their coaching staff. Also there, Tim Wallach.
What?
Yeah, former X-Ball.
Incredible. I love that. Great.
I have life goals. Actually, I have none. But
You've achieved more than anyone ever thought you would.
This is true. But my goal now, for the rest of my life, I want to grow up to be Pop. And I'm very close to being surly and old.
Close to being surly and old?
I'm essentially there, but I just have to get a bit more bitter.
You need to grow that beard that Pop has. How great would that be?
Nah.
You could play the Santa Claus.
My beard doesn't come in white, though. It comes in brown and brownish-reddish.
That's very odd. You don't dye it? You comb in just for men?
No.
Brownish reddish?
Oh, was I supposed to read any more news?
Yeah. Read us another bit of Herdline news. I was touting to Greg and John how exciting this segment was going to be. Guess I won't be doing that anymore.
Nick Foles named Rams starting QB against the Cards.
That's cool. Oh, Christine. Christine Leahy tweeted us about the Herdline News. This is her segment where she normally just nails it, crushes it every time. And she's saying, uh-oh, drinking a mimosa over here. But I'll leave my phone on for hour three just in case.
First off, I thought we got mimosas on this show.
My understanding was that everyone was handed a mimosa as soon as they walked on
All
set.
I got was birch water and dirt water.
Yeah, and that was your own doing. Well, Christine, boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if she triumphantly came in and saved you right now?
Yes. So far, I've sat in her seat, and Jim has sat in her seat. We are disappointing a lot of people.
Yes, you are.
That's the Herdline News.
That's it.
Well, that's the news.
Great job.
Another steaming load of good news.
How about a hand for Dan?
Herdline News.
By far, his best one.
Yeah, that was definitely out of the three you did, one we just cut off completely. And then the first one was just a disaster. You barely made it over
Again,
to the desk.
Hey, I've never done it.
You requested this. I thought you'd be prepared in some way.
I thought I'd just be reading off a prompter. I didn't know a piece of paper would give it, and they're like, sum this up. We've just handed it to you.
So now you see how hard Christine's job is and how easy ours is weeknights on
now
FS1.
Now all my papers are misarranged.
Well, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break, and this is very exciting because, we're going right to Clay. We're going right to Clay right now. Clay Travis is in studio.
Come on in, Clay.
Clay Travis is in studio. Clay, did you just come from the clubs? What is this you're wearing here? This is incredible. It's like a shiny button-up shirt.
You guys wanted mimosas. I'm still drunk from being out in Hollywood last night.
Whoa,
I
love it.
They gave me this shirt, and as soon as I saw it hanging in the dressing room, I knew that I was just going to get lit up by everybody for wearing this. But you got to give people what they want.
Did you go out last night? Is that Bama Red?
I did not. Last night I did not go out. Actually, I took it easy. I was dead. This is actually, I would say, more Texas A&M maroon or Mississippi State maroon.
Right.
Although with a 1980s dance club twist.
I understand.
Maroon, one of my favorite words, by the way. And it's a great insult without really insulting a person when you say, what a maroon.
It's like an old-timey insult.
Yeah,
so
what
it's
a maroon.
Perfect for you, Toolsy. First, let's talk about this Big Ten championship game on Fox Saturday night.
Where is it?
Oh, Michigan State.
On Fox Saturday night.
Joel Klatt called it our biggest college football game ever.
Ever on Fox. Do you agree, Clay Travis?
Well, you know, I hate to disagree with Joel Klatt, considering how he's the voice of reason in all respects. I think it probably is. I mean, the Michigan State-Ohio State game that knocked Ohio State out of the title game a couple of years ago was also huge. But this is a default playoff game. I mean, everybody says, myself included, we'd like to have eight teams in the playoff. Effectively, this game it's an Elite Eight game if you were thinking about an NCAA tournament times. Whoever wins is going to advance. So I think it'll be a massive audience. Obviously, Iowa, 13-0, not a lot of people believe in them. Going up against 12-1 Michigan State, I think it'll be the highest-rated game that Fox Sports has ever aired in the history of college football.
Okay, a question for you, piggybacking off your comment. You want an 8-team playoff. When do we get it, in your opinion?
So people I talked to said that they have sold 6 years' worth of advertising commitments already predicated on a
four-team.
For the four-team. So I would guess that if you follow the money track, they also sold the television for 12 years, but I think it's easier to kind of redo the television. At a minimum, I think it'll happen after 12 years. I would not be shocked if it happens after six, but it also matters how things play out. How many teams end up feeling aggrieved as if they deserve to be in the playoff and didn't make it? This year, if Clemson wins, and no matter who wins the Big Ten title game, we've got a clear delineation between 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. These guys don't even need to meet. I mean, the guys in the studio over here, I mean, we could sit down and seed this tournament ourselves. But if Clemson loses to UNC, then you got a lot of chaos because you got North Carolina fans arguing they need to be in. Ohio State fans, you've got Stanford if they beat USC, maybe even Notre Dame there on the periphery arguing, why not us? That makes it more likely. So it's a matter of probability. Are we going to get chaos or not? And how many of these next few years will we get it?
And I wanted to get your take on two different cities that you now currently call home. And I want you to compare them.
Yes.
So you call LA home part of the week, Nashville home rest of the week. Compare those two two towns?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I always feel bad. I keep telling you guys you need to come out in Nashville to go see a Preds game.
Staying at your house, Clay.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say a single bad word about Nashville. Everyone raves about it.
Yeah, so I feel almost like, you know, when you have a favorite restaurant, it's not quite popped and, you know, you can still get in and get a table. And
Nashville's still like that.
Nashville is still like that. And so every time I come on a national show and I say something like, Nashville's the greatest place in the country, and I travel all over the place, it makes me upset because more people are moving in. Traffic's going to get worse. These restaurants that I want to get into are going to get more and more difficult. But Nashville and LA actually have a lot in common in that they're both really creative towns. And there's in Nashville, I would say, a great bar music scene. If you want to go out and have drinks, if you want to go out and have just a great time.
Can you go out late there? Because you can't go out late here.
Yeah, you can go late night in Nashville. And you know what's great about it is it is now, I think, per capita, if you're a single guy, there is no city in America that has better looking women per capita than Nashville.
Boom,
even including LA.
Drop.
But they're very similar because you know a lot of creative
Orbits.com.
People.
Orbits.com. Yeah, Orbits.com. Right?
Yeah.
Orbits.com.
Get there right now.
Dan's on Expedia. Dan's talking to Ephraim's travel agent as we speak.
You will walk right into a bar and look around and be in disbelief. And it's not like an LA bar where you feel like a lot of the people there are in the town because they're good looking, like they're the best look. Petros is always on this, right? You're the best looking person in like some Madison, Wisconsin, and you're like, I should go be an actress. You know,
apologies to everyone listening in Madison.
I'm gonna move to LA, and like the best looking person of all these different towns moves to LA. This is just like a cool town. It's become, I would say, in the South, a more accessible version of Atlanta. People used to go to Atlanta, but Atlanta kind of sucks. It's a sprawling metropolis. No offense to people in Atlanta. And Nashville is just a more accessible area. It's great to go out in. You guys really need to come to town, but nobody else moved there because I still want to be able to get in my restaurants.
What's our flight time from LA? Three?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, so going there, it'll take about 3.5 hours. Coming back, it'll take about 4. So it's not that bad.
Clay,
I mean,
Travis,
I take that flight a lot.
I got to say something. You have a segment on your show on Countdown to Kickoff, which is tonight on FS1, called America Hates Clay Travis. They shouldn't, because you are a terrific, terrific guy, and it's been so nice. You've been so kind to us. Thanks for joining us. And wearing, again, a shirt that we might have ridiculed you for if you didn't wear it so darn well.
It's so pajama looking and also nightclub looking that it manages to hit both of those.
And I believe it's 100% polyester.
It's like if Suge Knight had lost 200 pounds and then given you his wardrobe.
You know
what
else?
You wore today.
This is the hottest this studio has ever been. So if you guys
steamy.
Are sweating, I have no idea what happened.
Oh, we have to do are a pit.
Are we trying to save money?
No, we don't have to do a pit check.
Why not, eh?
We Beautiful dissolves, by the way.
We do a segment which is called You Blew It, where we point out our own errors. We know we aren't perfect. Far from it.
We're bad, really.
So let's tee that up. Let's tee that up.
Here Jay and Dan, you blew it.
Jay and Dan, you blew it.
You blew it.
You blew it.
Jay and Dan, you blew it.
Jay and Dan, you blew it.
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 You blew it. You blew it.
You blew it.
Jay and Dan, you blew it again. Why aren't you fired yet?
You blew it. You blew it, boys. You blew it.
Jay and Dan, you both blew it. Jay and Dan, you blew it.
Two strangers I make fun of.
Spade.
I met Spade once.
That's another good story. Is that the end of it?
No. I was alone when I first got here, and I had nothing to do on a Saturday night, so
okay.
I sent
so
a text
typical.
To our one of our bosses, John Entz, who looks just like Urban Meyer, and he said, I said, what are you doing? He says, he wanted no part of hanging out with me, so he said, text Jay Glazer, he's having a party tonight. I'm like, what? Okay. So I text Jay, I'm like, can I invite myself to your party? He's like, yeah, come down to the club. And I go in there, and then... And there's David Spade with a tall woman. And Chris Farley's brother was there.
Was the tall woman Christine Leahy?
No.
Okay.
It was not.
Okay.
And then so I met David.
He said he met her, or she said she met him.
So I met David Spade.
That was the story.
That was the story. Invited my story to Jay Glazer. Invited myself to his party.
You should invite him to tell stories. You should just travel the country telling your stories.
Here's the thing with Glazer. You go to a party, I'm like, I better get home. He's like, okay, there's a vehicle outside waiting for you.
That's nice.
Car service home.
Right? That's a classy party. You should throw one of those parties at your pad.
I would have to know people.
Okay. So for You Blew It, I believe we have a little rip of some of the things we did wrong
Oh, okay.
on the show today. We don't.
No? We don't have that?
Oh, we have other guys who said we blew it. It's different guys. Oh, okay. Who else said we blew it?
Hey, Jay and Dan, you blew it,
okay,
ass.
Okay, it was us. That's weird.
Where are our special? I thought we were going to be surprised by some special guests.
Yeah, it was funny. Greg, do you know about this?
I don't.
Dave Cojello, who books a lot of the guests on the show, he gave us the list of guests that you gave us, and then he said, and some special surprises. There's been no one. There was no...
Everyone
there was
that's
no
been
other
on the
guest.
Show we already work with.
There was no other guest.
I feel bad now. Like, we let you down.
No, it's better. I don't like surprises.
We were expecting, like, members of The Grindr, which we actually like, and it's a Fox show. We thought they would show up in surprises. Like, Fred Savage would come out and tell us a Wonder Years
yeah,
story.
Yeah, wearing his Joe Namath jacket from the show. Too small. This is interesting, though. A list of things Colin hates. And I feel like we have so much in common with Colin on this one.
We do.
Just a random list, both.
By the way, we have to thank Colin for letting
us
come in.
Yeah, thank you very much, Colin, for this one
time
only.
He's been very
only.
Kind. We didn't know what to expect, and he's been gracious and
came on our podcast, the Jay and Dan podcast, which you can download on iTunes. He was very kind with that. He had to drive all the way in from Manhattan Beach to do that. I wouldn't have done that if it was I was him.
No, he had a nap in his room.
In his bedroom?
No, in his change room.
Oh, I understand. Okay.
Although all the couches in Fox Sports are designed so you can't nap. There's cinder blocks in the armrests. You cannot get comfortable on it.
What? You haven't? You said you were going to lie down on,
no, this
on
one,
that couch.
This one's horrible. It's. I found out this couch is from the Women's World Cup set in Vancouver.
Oh, really? So it's filled with maple syrup and Molson's.
The
Eric Winalda's tears.
The
or...
cost of bringing this back here would have been more than the couch. Am I wrong on this?
Can I just very quickly plug my book, number 2, on Amazon.com right now? You can pick it up. It makes it terrific.
Before we start, you know, Christmas is about 3 weeks away. You know, I got that book thing, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. It's called Raw. What a tremendous gift that would make for someone who likes to read.
Hey, just beating his beef.
That is also a good book, I admit. That's a good one.
Okay, let's run down a list of things.
Let's do it. Here we go.
See how similar we are. A list of random lists, both real and fake.
Yeah, okay.
Derrick Rose.
I really like Derrick Rose. I feel actually sorry for him. I hope he doesn't get injured anymore. Caviar potato chips. That seems like something you hate, Dan. I don't know if Colin's ever tried that.
Did I get a different list?
No, we're looking at the screen right now, but you can't read that, can you?
I can. I just got laser eye, but who can read that at home? That is small print.
So, thanks for insulting the fine graphics people here at FS1.
By the way,
FS2.
When someone says I had laser eye surgery and it changed my life, they were living a really crappy life. It had changed your life.
What do you mean? So you can see clearly? That doesn't change your life?
Putting contacts in takes 10 seconds.
Doesn't it? Speaking of 10 seconds, we've got 10 seconds left on the herd. I got to say, I'm pretty sure we won't be invited back, but thank you, Colin and Christine, for having us. And Colin will be back
on
Monday.
Weekend.
So long, my time here is up.
Boy, that was terrific stuff.
That was amazing.
We'll never be invited back.
It actually flew by 3 hours. I thought, oh, geez, I'm going to lose interest 20 seconds in, which is usually the case for most of the things I'm a part of. This episode 92, Rick Talkett, didn't someone send us a list of all the numbers for the upcoming podcast?
Jimmy Holiday. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Jimmy Holiday.
Yeah, very cool. He sent us a list of all the 90s. Podcast.
And again, once we get to 100, we're into syndication.
Yeah, huge. Going to be huge. It's like Charlie Sheen. You make 10. It's the 1090 for anger management. You get 10 episodes. You get renewed for 90, and then you get HIV. I'm sorry. That was unrelated to the 1090 for anger management.
Stop wasting your workouts and start finding your more with tracking and training gear from Adidas. Fit Smart and Smart Run gives you the stats that matter and coach you to improve every step of the way. Search Fit Smart or Smart Run at adidas.com today.
I know we mentioned Joe Davis would be on the pod this week. He's going to be on next week.
This was thrown into our lap.
That's right.
We didn't know this was coming.
The Thursday, December 10th edition of the podcast. That'll be episode 93. the Peter Nedved edition. I don't actually don't think it's the Nedved, but I think it's someone else. But anyway, that's when we'll have Joe Davis, new Dodgers play-by-play
guy. Yeah, the heir apparent to Vin Scully.
It's going to be fantastic. Great, great guy. That's it. That's the Jay and Dan podcast for this week. Dan, how did you think it went?
I have no idea. I'm just hoping Mike put together something that was listenable.
Thanks for listening.
See you next week.
Hi, this is Lisa Ann. This is the end of the podcast, so all you holes can get out of here.